Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the Policy and Implementation Working Group call on the 30th of October 2013. On the call today, we have Michael Graham, Gillian Ropp, Nick Steinbach, Olivier Kwame, Cheryl Longdonor, Klaus Stoll, Alan Greenberg, Karen Mellon-Taraville, J. Scott Evans, Chuck Gomes, and James Liddell. Maureen Cubberley, Gregory Shatton, and Amir Asadeh have all sent emails saying they will try to make the call, but they might be very late. And we have apologies from Holly Raish, Olga Cavalli, Tom Barrett, Tim Cole, Marika Kernings, and Christopher Pack. From staff, we have Mary Wong, Gondi Saint-Géry, and myself, Matthew Perlin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you so much, and over to you.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone. Good afternoon, good morning, and good evening. Welcome to our call. I think Maureen had sent out an email later today, did she not, Mary, that says she's going to be late coming to this meeting?
Yes, she said that she'll probably be on, but quite late, so you might want to proceed with the update on her behalf.
Yeah, I think I am happy to, let's just, we have an update from her on that she submitted, but I'd like to just, let's just move on to the second item of the agenda. We can come back to it when she joins us. And that would be the update from the work plan sub-team. And I know that you all have developed a grid that has been permitted to the chairs, and both Mary and Chuck have worked on assisting them in, with some revisions to that. So at this point, I'd like to turn it over to Michael, who's the chair of that subgroup. And Mary, I would ask, if possible, can you post up that work grid on the Adobe Connect?
Yes, we're uploading it right now.
Great. And Michael?
I am on, thank you. Hopefully you can hear me clearly. Basically, what we have done as a work, as a sub-team is to take the information that we had and our last conversation in terms of getting one of the sub-teams that we identified rolling, and that's Maureen's definitional sub-team, and took both the grid that we had started as a draft and the mind map and have worked it into the grid that is now on the screen, which is intended to be an outline and some proposed dates showing both the various sub-teams, the full working group work, and then setting up a schedule, at least initially, for getting this work done. And I must say this is probably more pudding than jello in that the dates are entirely movable, many of them based on the completion or the status of work that is done by the first two sub-teams, the one which is developing definitions so that we all have a working understanding, and when we say use a particular term, and there have been seven of those identified, and just to go over quickly, they're policy, policy development, implementation, implement, principles, consensus, and consensus policy. And I'll wait, and hopefully Maureen on later in this meeting and be able to summarize what that work team is doing. However, it's essential, we thought, in putting together this grid to have these definitions for discussion, for finalization, hopefully by Buenos Aires, at which point the next sub-team, and we've sort of split this into sub-teams so that it would be workable. The next sub-team is working on a working, and I put this in quote, working principles to underpin GNSO policy, and that's just to get a definition of our understanding as a work group on what those principles may be so that we can drive the other sub-teams. And there are actually three on my screen. I think there are actually four. One is for deliverable one, which is developing GTLD and other ICAM policy, proposing the process for developing those. Deliverable two and three, which is developing the criteria to determine when something should be addressed by policy development or guidance process, and then also developing a framework for discussion of implementation options. Then deliverable four, which is drafting guidance on the formation and function of GNSO implementation review teams, something along those lines. And then finally, five, which is returning to the general principles underlining all of these efforts and policy and implementation working through ICANN. What we've done then is to propose that these various tasks be broken out into sub-teams, how those would operate. We're sort of leaving up in the air because we understand that when sub-teams are formed, including our own, that they will develop their own specific process. But at the same time, the members of the sub-team are now working on some general tasks, the questions to be addressed, and some of the other information to be addressed by these various sub-teams so that we can populate either this grid or an introduction to the sub-teams that can be distributed prior to Buenos Aires and discussed at that time. You'll note that if you look at the chart, that it's divided out so that the definition sub-team is working now, that the deliverable, we call it 0B sub-team, the working principles, starts out but doesn't really begin its work until we have those definitions, and that sub-teams 1, 2, 3, and 4 all wait to begin their work until after 0B has come up with some working principles. Those three sub-teams are working in parallel at the same time, although we recognize that sub-team 4, which is coming out with some larger the draft guidance on the formation and function of the implementation review teams, really has to wait until the other two deliverable sub-teams complete their work before it can get finalization of its own. So these are a little bit, they're working in parallel, but then also allowing that there will be time differences. And then finally, the last group, deliverable five, would wait until those other sub-teams are pretty much completed. So this is sort of the proposed idea of a schedule, and it's looking out probably towards having something close to completion with several of these major work sub-teams by London, and that's with some presentation time at in Singapore. And then also looking at beyond that to the Los Angeles meeting, to projecting that we would be able to complete a lot of the work, or at least be to the point of being able to make this public and review. You'll note that the schedule does not include all of those details in terms of publishing initial documents, getting the public comment, responding to those. All of that will be a little bit more in flex, I think, as the work teams actually get going, these sub-teams. So this is what we've come up with as a proposal for the work plan. It is certainly not perfect, and hopefully this will lead to some clarification and understanding both of what our task is as a work group and then what the particular sub-teams are meant to do. And I believe after our call on Monday, one of the thoughts is on not only gaining general agreement going forward that this looks like a plan, which obviously can be changed as we go along, but that at that point also to begin the process of calling for volunteers for the various sub-teams so that there's participation across the work group. At the same time, no one is overburdened with work, and also providing some safeguards to ensure that the work teams do not end up going on frolics and detours and coming back together speaking different languages and different definitions. And I think part of that was the presumption that when these sub-teams are formed, that each of them would have at least one member of the leadership group participating who would have sort of, theoretically at least, would have a good overview of the work group and be able to know also what is happening in the other sub-teams and be able to help keep the sub-teams on the correct path. So this is where we are at this point. Again, my hope is that the sub-team members, which have been given assignments now, within the next week, week and a half, will be able to flesh out the tasks of the particular sub-teams that we've listed here, and we'll be able to have that for discussion in Buenos Aires.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate that very much. Now we'll take a cue for anyone that has any questions of Michael. So if you will use the raise your hand feature in the Adobe, I would greatly appreciate that. I'm going to scroll down here. I don't see any hands. So I suppose we don't have any questions. Let's see. I see here we do have a compliment from Chuck in the chat section, and I would like to say that as well. The sub-team that has developed this workflow chart has done quite a Herculean task in a short amount of time, and I'd like to express our thanks to each of you. I see that James Bloodell has raised his hand, so I'm going to recognize you, James.
Thank you, J. Scott. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes.
Okay, great. Just testing the audio. Thank you. And thank you, Michael, and those folks who put together this work plan. I think it's excellent, and I think it's definitely a good starting point, and we can certainly check in with it as we go along. And I think that's really what I was just going to make as a possible suggestion. And perhaps it's in here and I'm just not picking up on it, but some sort of a concept, since so many things are happening in parallel as we go into later this year and in early next year, wondering if there could be some baked-in checkpoints, one or two, to ensure that you know, each of the sub-teams would check in as an overarching PDP working group, that we would kind of have them all present their status, and then we can adjust the schedule based on where they're at in any given moment and determine if there are any dependencies popping up between the sub-teams. Just a thought that may or may not be applicable, but wanted to get that put it on the table for discussion.
Yeah, James, it's Michael. I think that's a great idea. It's difficult from this chart to say what those points would be, but I think hopefully when the tasks are laid out a little bit more clearly for each of these, we should be able to see some points where that will happen. One thing that we discussed, too, in setting up these sub-teams is the fact that this would enable us to have fewer, perhaps, full work group sessions, but at those sessions, I think those, too, will provide us with the opportunity of reviewing, getting reports from the sub-teams, and keeping an eye on it that way as well. But I think setting up, as you suggest, some points of checking in and confirming what the progress is and what direction the various teams are headed, that would be really good to build into this. And as you point out, it's a place to start, and you know, utilizing this as a tool, then, you know, we can fill in the blanks with reality as we go and see how things are changing, and especially with these first two sub-teams, the definition and the working principles, that may inform how we deal with the other ones as well.
Okay, great. And I would suggest that, this is Jay Scott for the record, that, you know, a good check-in point will always be when we have the full working group meeting, that each of the sub-teams would then deliver a status to the whole group so we know. And then I would also suggest that whomever is chairing the working groups, that they are all cross-pollinating at the end of their calls the information to the chairs of those particular groups so that they all are sort of simultaneously following the progress of the other groups, and then they can make sure that that information is disseminated to the larger group when they have their particular meetings. I think that that's always a good idea. I see that Mary Wong has raised her hand and unmuted herself, which means that she probably wants to speak. So I'm going to recognize Ms. Wong.
Thanks, Jay Scott. How did you know? So just to follow up on what you and Michael have been saying, I think if everyone take at this whole grid, that the timeline in some parts especially is fairly aggressive, which does necessitate, in our minds, I guess, the need for sub-teams and also the need for the sub-teams to coordinate with each other. And I think that was the basis upon which this particular work plan sub-team developed the grid. I suppose one of the questions for feedback from the larger group that work plan sub-team would be looking for is not just whether, you know, these timelines would work, because as Michael says, they're pretty flexible, and I think the expectation must be that many of those will change as things go on. But in terms of the sequencing of the sub-teams, for example, and the main sequencing here is that we already have a definition sub-team that started work, and you'll see in the column there that they suggested them providing status updates and so forth at particular points in time. The next sub-team is, as Michael says, deliverable 0B in the next column over. So there's a question as to when that ought to start, perhaps now, because their work will inform the work of the other sub-teams, which can and will start much later. So some feedback from working group members on this particular form of sequencing or other suggestions, I think, would be very welcome.
Are there any comments? Or?
Jay Scott, it's Ann, and I'm not on the Adobe Connect. I'm calling in remotely.
Okay.
My question, and maybe it's, I called in just a few minutes late, but with respect to deliverable B and sub-team that Mary just mentioned and needing to commence their work soon, trying to understand the relationship between deliverable B sub-team and deliverable 5 sub-team a little better. And perhaps, again, this was discussed because I see the note that says may be delayed, but deliverable B talks about, you know, the working principles, I guess, that already exist, and then deliverable 5 sub-team talks about principles underpinning any policy discussions, and those seem so closely related. I don't know if it's indicated that by the end of this process we will have refined the work of sub-team B, and that will be refined in deliverable 5 sub-team.
This is Michael for the record, and you have summarized our goal very well. It was, in looking at this and looking at the charter, the questions, and what tasks we were set out with, it was one of these issues that we have a starting place, a general understanding, and that's what 0B is working on. What is that understanding? And basically defining that for us in a way that we can understand going forward. Having that general understanding, we think, was necessary then for the subteams 1 through 4 to operate. Recognizing that as they are developing their various deliverables, what those deliverables are, what they conclude, is going to probably either change or further clarify what those principles are going forward for ICANN. So that once those deliverables are completed, the thought was, now we understand what the true principles are going forward. And in part, I guess 0B might be, that is where we raise the questions, is this what we understand the principles of policy and implementation process within ICANN to be? And hopefully by the time we reach subteam 5, we will be able to say, this is what we believe it is or should be.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks, Michael. It seems like in that case there should be maybe some consistency or constancy in terms of team members between subteam B and subteam 5. Just a comment that it might be easier in terms of the work that's to be completed if there's at least some of the members on subteam B move on to subteam 5. That's my only comment.
Okay, thanks, Ann. So are there any more comments or thoughts with regards to this particular plan? All right. Seeing none, I'll check once again. We will now move to the next point in the agenda, which is to talk about how we plan to populate the subteam. You know, we have a very large working group, and we need to make sure as chairs that the subteams are populated so that the work is evenly distributed among the group and doesn't fall too heavily on a concentrated group. Also to make sure that the community is well represented within the subteams. And so our idea is we are going to be making a call for volunteers, and we would like everyone to put a first choice and a second choice for the subteams that they would like to serve upon. And then we are going to then look at those preferences and assign people into the teams in order to make it at least initially a stab at getting this subteam adequately staffed and staffed, you know, throughout the working group, the full working group. So that is our initial thoughts with regards to that, and we would, you know, bring it up for discussion with the full working group today. But that was our idea of the way to try and assist with making sure that these things are populated and that the work is evenly distributed. Are there any comments or thoughts with regards to that plan? I see we have several. First hand up was Alan Greenberg. Then we've got James Bledel, then Michael Graham, and then Gideon. So I'm going to start with you, Alan.
Thank you, Jay. That methodology doesn't seem to factor in that the time frames of these subgroups are different.
Well, there are only a couple of them that will be different, but you are correct that there are some, but we can... you know, we don't want to burn anybody out either, so, but we will certainly take that under advisement. James?
Hey, Jay, Scott, this is James Blayle speaking for the record, and I guess my only question or observational concern with the assignment idea is that it raises the scenario, the potential scenario where someone would believe that they have something to contribute to a subteam and or have an interest in it, and then would be told that the subteam was full and they were not that would be turned away, or is that perhaps not part of this? You're just really just making sure that you have enough people in each sub-team, or do you envision there would be an upper limit at which point you would, the leadership group would start telling people no?
James, under the working group guidelines, you're not allowed to do that. You're allowed to try to balance the team, but it's open to anyone in this group or anyone else who would like to participate. So I do not see anyone being turned away. Now, I can see that we might, as leadership, if we believe that one group is too heavily populated with one particular constituency, trying to use powers of persuasion to get that constituency more broadly represented in other groups rather than concentrated in one group. But I don't think it's necessarily our task to turn anyone away.
Okay, thank you for clarifying. That's excellent. Thank you.
Next is Michael Graham.
Yes. My only comment is I think, too, when we ask people to volunteer or express their interest, I guess, also asking them to express interest in chairing or leading any of these particular teams, or maybe as James was saying, there may be people with a particular interest or a particular affinity for one or another of these that would be good to have them go ahead and self-identify as someone who would like a leadership role on those sub-teams.
I think that's an excellent choice, suggestion, I'm sorry. And we will certainly take that on board. Next we have Gideon Roth.
Good evening. I want to appreciate the use of when selecting the members for the subcommittee. I think it's a good thing to, like you suggest, to have like two choices where people, if there is too much, there is too many people who have decided to be in one sub team, they will be able to at least get a second choice so that we have balance within all the sub teams. And I think the issue of having sub-teams is a great idea, and it helps us to move forward, just that we don't have overlapping responsibilities. Thank you.
Good. And I would also say, if you volunteer for nothing, there's a chance that you will be randomly assigned by the chairs and vice chairs into a group, because we want to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to participate. And we understand that, you know, and of course if that's problematic, we can always have a discussion. I see now Cheryl Langdon Orr has raised her hand.
Thanks, Jay Scott. Cheryl here. I'm just wondering about accommodating the crazy people who may wish to serve in more than one of your sub-teams.
Well, again, we're not using this as a upper limit. And the only reason that I could see for trying to offer any sort of persuasion would be is if any particular sub-team looks like it's heavily populated with one particular constituency, which the working group requires, the guidelines, as you know, Cheryl, require that we try to balance that group.
I understand all of that, An allocation from a choice of three indicates that everyone will be allocated, fairly and evenly, et cetera, but there may be, one crazy person amongst us that wants to be in all three of their choices. I assume you'll be accommodating that.
Again, I can't see any reason why we would not. Alan?
Yeah, I was going to ask what Cheryl asked, but I've got one further one, and I'm a little troubled about the concept that if someone doesn't volunteer, they will be assigned. Bodies in a group do not necessarily correlate with workers in a group, and there's no forced labor here. If people don't want to serve on a particular group, then just putting them there isn't going to serve any purpose. Well, I think we have to be pragmatic.
Just because someone is assigned to a group, they can participate at the level they seek to participate. We're not, I mean, we have no way of mandating that somebody participate, just like we have no mandate here. But if you're on the working group list, I see nothing wrong with allocating you to a group if you didn't self-identify, and you can then choose to participate at whatever level is you are comfortable with.
Okay, it sounds like a make-work effort, which isn't going to change the outcome, but I guess it's not
sure.
My work, so that's fine.
Thanks, J. Scott. I can think of one reason that can be a little bit problematic if people are in multiple groups that are working at the same time, and that's scheduling. Like J. Scott said, I don't think we're going to prevent anybody or forbid it, but it does make scheduling more complicated because you obviously have more conflicts if you're in multiple groups. So I would suggest that if people do end up wanting to participate in more than one group, that they be as flexible as possible for scheduling, because scheduling is difficult enough as it is. So that is one reason why it makes it a little more complicated if people are in multiple groups, because some of these groups could be meeting at the same time. It certainly narrows down the options for available meeting time. So I just throw that out. I think that is one reason where it's helpful if people are distributed more evenly. Thanks.
Cheryl.
Hi, thanks for that. Cheryl, back to your point, Chuck, I'm not following you on this one, because yes, I see the challenges, but the usual delimiter is in fact staff resourcing for work groups, and we do try and avoid having too many calls running at exactly the same time because of the staff resources not being able to be cloned very successfully. So you might, if you're crazy enough to be in more than one subteam, I can certainly see the scenario where you might end up on, you know, three straight calls in 2 days running or something. But in an ideal world with this number of work teams, you should in fact be able to have calls spread across a month, even if it's at an identical time each week. And that's certainly a scenario that Michael and the rest of the work plan team have been exploring each time we've put these concepts together. We've put it together with the idea of also not having created too much risk of conflict, and more importantly, having to spread staff too thinly in any given week time. But yeah, well, I see your point, but we're also trying very hard to avoid that.
Right, and just so that everyone understands, this is not done for any other reason other than we have a very brisk timeline, we have a huge group of people, and we have a lot of issues. And this is merely being suggested as a way to facilitate orderly functioning of a large group. Please understand that everything that is done by any subteam will come back to the full working group for input. So there is no need to feel compelled to serve on each and every subteam and overload yourself, when in fact you will have an opportunity to fully participate in whatever finalized work product is put out to the public from this working group as a whole. Subteam work is only being divided up to make the workload more manageable. It is not in any way some sort of fait accompli or abdicating decision-making or discussion to a subgroup. It will always be brought back to the entire group for a discussion, much like we've had today with regards to the work done by our first subteam. So you should feel, should know that we're going to do the best we can to make sure that everybody in the working group is comfortable and has an opportunity under the working group guidelines to express whether they have consensus or they don't have consensus with any of the things that are being prepared by the sub-teams. And I see we have Michael's hand.
Yeah, I would just like to second, I think you expressed that very well, Jay Scott, that although it's not included in this version of the chart very clearly, the idea is that the sub-teams are preparing materials to bring to the work group as a whole so that, and the only way I can refer to it is the laboring ore is being handled by that subgroup, and then it's brought back, and we're all going to be considering it. But to have everybody trying to work on every issue, as you pointed out, there are so many possible issues, so many possible directions, that it seemed to the sub-team working on the work plan that the most efficient way would be to set up so that these sub-teams are working out here to develop the materials for the work group as a whole, then, to take a look at, to deal with, to discuss, to prepare whatever deliverables or to revise deliverables if they're brought in by the sub-team, but always, always with the view that the entire work group is going to be reviewing all of the material at some point along the process.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Now, I think that we sort of have an understanding of how we're going to go about this process, and I appreciate, and again, this is not being done as any sort of call for interest. You know, if we send out a call for volunteers and ask you to identify your first and second choice and you want to do more than that, you simply need to indicate in your response what your desire is. And I think that that will be taken into consideration. I see Chuck has raised his hand.
Thanks, Jay Scott. Just a few questions. First one is, are we going to handle volunteers for group sub-team 0B before we handle the other three? That's just a practical logistics point. Secondly, with regard to 0B, because the other three sub-teams are dependent on its finishing its work, I wonder whether we should consider starting some of the preliminary work for 0B earlier rather than waiting until the definitions are done. I think that might buy us some time, which would help us later on, but I'll just throw that out there, and I'll stop there.
Yeah, my thought would be, Chuck, that the three subcommittees, sub-teams that are working now, are the two that are working now and 0B. 0B should be populated as soon as possible. And then the process that I'm speaking to will happen with sub-teams 1 through 4, not with the preliminary work. So we can go ahead and staff, do a call for volunteers for 0B and get that kicked off. And then everyone who has participated in the work plan subteam, the definition subteam, and the 0B subteam will be asked to put a 1 and 2 choice for subteams 1 through 4. And then, of course, we'll look at 5 once the work is all done, because it could be that 5 doesn't ever take place if we end up that we're very close to where we are at the beginning. But in the event it does, we would call for volunteers again at that time, and it would be treated a bit differently because there's no first and second choice. Mary, I see your hand is up.
Yes, thanks, Jay Scott, and thanks, Chuck. I mean, one of the things that came out, obviously, from Chair's call and the sub-team call on Monday was where and when sub-team 0B would start and fit in. So the only point I want to make now is that it does seem logical that that particular sub-team should kick off probably imminently. But looking at the timeline, the Buenos Aires meeting is on the 18th, well, the week of the 18th, and people might be traveling the week prior. So without going into scheduling, I think that's just one thing for this group to maybe decide on today, that if you want to issue a call for volunteers amongst the working group for sub-team 0B, it should probably be today, if not imminently so that perhaps they could at least have an initial meeting or two prior to Buenos Aires or in Buenos Aires.
Michael?
Yes, I agree with Mary wholeheartedly, and in fact, I don't know if I populated that date. I think Marika must have, or Mary, of having that first sub-team meeting during the Buenos Aires meeting. I think that's perfect because I think the starting place for Zero B is not only the definitions which will be happening during that time, but also the questions that we had drafted for discussion in Buenos Aires. I think that will be richly rewarding, and having that sub-team sort of identified before then will mean that the members of that sub-team will be especially alert to those answers and the discussion. That should help them get them off on a really good footing, I would think.
Okay. As the chair, I'm going to ask everyone to anyone that disagrees that we should send out a call of volunteers at the end of this call for sub-team 0B to begin their work, a call for volunteers so we can get that constituted. If you disagree, if you would put, I think there's a disagree mark on the choices you have up by the raised hand. I don't see any. So, Mary, if we could get out a call for volunteers at the end of this call to the list.
Will do, J. Scott.
All right. So that group can then begin, and I see that Cheryl has said that she agrees that that group should begin its work, and I think that we just need to get them started so that we can get the preliminary work done as quickly as possible, and it's always nice for a work group to be able to meet in a face-to-face meeting if it can be arranged, and given that we have one coming up in a couple of weeks, we should take full advantage of that. I think also Michael's points with regard to Buenos Aires are well taken. Next, I'd like to move down to our agenda and talk about the planning for the Buenos Aires meeting. Given that I am not going to be there because I've just started my new job at Adobe, I'm going to ask Chuck if you will run this particular part of the meeting, because that is going to be your job down in Buenos Aires.
Thanks, Jay Scott. I'll be happy to do that. One more comment, and this is kind of jumping ahead to our next meeting, but are you available on the 13th for our regular working group meeting? On the I think it's the 13th of November, because I will be in a couple of different planes during the day that day.
I'm on the East Coast that day, so that's a 3 o'clock call.
Yes.
Let me check real quick, Chuck.
I should have brought this up in our leaders meeting on Monday, but I didn't think of it.
I have a board of directors meeting that I am in, but I can step out of that, so I will chair that call on November 13th.
Thanks. And another comment before we do agenda item 5, and it sounds like the work plan working group has already considered this. Once we have 3 working groups working simultaneously, it may not be necessary to have the full working group meeting every 2 weeks. So I got the impression by a comment that somebody made, I forget who it was, that...
It was me.
Yeah, and it was that we would be maybe only meeting once a month or something. Did I hear that correctly?
That's Cheryl here, Chuck. That's certainly a plan that we had woven into our proposal because of not wanting to have volunteer burnout, and also wanting to allow very regular touch points of working group as a whole.
That makes a lot of sense. This is Chuck again. Thanks, Cheryl. I appreciate that. Okay, jumping to agenda item 5, planning for Buenos Aires. the time and day. Mary, do you want to? Would you please give the details of the meeting times, both I think on the weekend, which is an update for the council and other GNSO members that are there. Keep in mind for those that are new to this, the weekend meetings are open to everyone, so they're not just council participants. Counselors will probably be seated at the table, but the meetings are open to anyone from the GNSO. In fact, anyone else, too, that don't have to be part of the GNSO. So, Mary, could you give us the details as far as the schedule goes on that right now?
Sure. Thanks, Chuck. And as you say, the weekend sessions are actually GNSO working sessions, so they're not just for the GNSO Council. And there will be remote participation facilities available as well for those who aren't going to be in Buenos Aires. The GNSO, as usual, has a full schedule for both Saturday and Sunday. This particular working group has a slot on Saturday, at the moment between, I believe, 11:30 a.m. and 12 noon Buenos Aires time. And Chuck, I believe you'll be there in person. Jessica, I don't know if you'll be calling in, but that will be the half an hour time slot for the chairs to update the GNSO Council and the rest of the community as to the status of the working group's progress. Then during the week itself of the ICANN meeting, there is on the schedule a face-to-face meeting for this working group on the Wednesday from 4:45 p.m. to 6:15 p.m. local time, which will follow from the GNSO Council meeting, but hopefully end in time for those who wish to go to the gala or who wish to call off if you're participating remotely. So one face-to-face briefing from the chairs to the GNSO on the Saturday late morning, and one face-to-face working group meeting on the Wednesday evening.
So I have a question. This is Chuck again. I think it was Michael, and Mary may have suggested it too, mentioned that it might be good to have the first meeting of Working Group 0B on the in Buenos Aires. If that's the intent, we would have to find a slot for that, which is hard to do without creating conflicts. Another alternative would be to use this time slot for that. Now, I'm not advocating one way or the other, but I would appreciate some discussion on that right now, because it'd be good if we think through that carefully and look at the pros and cons of different alternatives.
What time slot are you talking about, Chuck?
The slot during the week.
Okay.
Yeah. The one
Chuck,
that's scheduled for our face-to-face meeting for the working group. Okay.
Chuck, this is Mary. And
go ahead, Mary.
The same thought had occurred to me, and obviously what with tight schedules, potential conflicts, and even the possibility of finding a room, which isn't always easy, as you know, certainly the easiest way to schedule that 0B meeting is to have it during or with the whole working group during the allotted time on Wednesday evening. I think that might also depend on whether, and it sounds like this group will do a meeting the week before, so there's a couple of dependencies. And if this group is not doing a meeting the week before, then it could create some time pressures on the Buenos Aires Wednesday time. But that'll be less so if there is a working group meeting the week before. I guess the other dependency would be the definition subteam. But certainly I think that's probably the easiest way to go.
Thank you, Mariana. And Cheryl, I'll turn it over to you in just a second. A couple more thoughts. I think probably we're going to need to also have some time in our face-to-face for the definitions team. So it might one approach would be to combine the definitions subteam and the 0B subteam, the principals team. Now, another point of information for those that may be new to this, typically, historically, I guess maybe a better term, working group sessions that occur during ICANN in-person meetings are open to anybody who wants to attend. So now it is possible to close a meeting. That doesn't happen very often, and it's probably discouraged a little bit on that, so I throw that out. So in other words, anybody that wants to participate in that meeting, if we make it a meeting of the sub-teams, would be welcome to do so, unless we decide differently and request it to be closed. Now, sorry to take so long on that. I see, Cheryl, your hand's gone down.
It has, but then Michael's jumped in the chat as well, and I just want to grab it while I can. I respectfully disagree with you, Michael. I think the opportunity with the time slot on Wednesday to have a working group meeting of the whole for an initial period of time, and it should probably be able to be, no more than, in an ideal world, 30 to 45 minutes, if that, and then split into an OB and a definitions activity, the room should be large enough to go into two different directions, would be really good. But if we have to give up on one, I guess I would have then done the OB in the week prior, it'll just have to suffer for the lack of not getting face-to-face then in Buenos Aires, and focus on definitions, which is what you were saying, with the committee of the whole, because experience has shown many of us, with battle scars to prove it, that definition is a thorny and exciting subject that could very well benefit from face-to-face, frank, fearless and robust discussion. Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. Jay Scott.
I've chaired very large committees before, and I think that the best thing to do is this working group will have a little bit to discuss as a whole, perhaps to inform those that were not there on Saturday morning about the GNSO update and what, if any, questions they received from the GNSO. But it should only be more of an introductory, face-to-face introductions and that. So I think that could be very short. And I want to support then saving the, slotting out the time where you take 15 or 20 minutes where you do an update, you have everybody introduce themselves, and then the rest of the time split to the two groups that actually are already populated and have work to do. And I strongly think that that's how the agenda should be set up. Doesn't require us getting any additional time. We can use a facility that's already been allotted, and we can get those teams working quickly.
Thank you, Jay Scott. Alan, it looks like you put your hand down, so I'll call on Michael.
I succumb. I agree with both Jay Scott and Cheryl on this. The brief meeting as a whole, I think then, splitting into the two sub-teams, those who want to discuss, although I think the definitions might be something that could be discussed and that could be the basis for that face-to-face meeting. I had been thinking that we would not be as far along, I think, with the work plan as we appear to be, with as little contradictory discussion on it. So I guess to the extent that that was what we were going to do, that may already have been done. At the same time, the questions for discussion, in order to expedite that work group as a whole and also to provide information to both of those sub-teams, perhaps those could be made questions to ask the work group as a whole to provide email responses in advance of the meeting on the 13th or to discuss on the 13th.
Thank you, Michael. Mary.
Thanks, Chuck. And I'm not voicing a preference one way or the other. I guess just wanted to point out that given that the meeting in Buenos Aires, however it's structured, is going to be open to the whole community, and hopefully there will be interest and attendance, that one thing this group might want to think about is if you split into two sub-teams even halfway through the Wednesday meeting, whether there might be a missed opportunity for feedback. Although I suppose if you wanted feedback on both definitions and working principles, that's probably the only way to do it. But I was thinking that perhaps the definitions team would have gotten further with their work, and that may, as someone pointed out earlier, be kind of a touchstone for people.
And in fact, this is Chuck, we have talked about, have four questions that we did want feedback on generally for the work group, so we have to keep that in mind as well. I would also think that there may be some value in the definitions work team interacting a little bit with the principles work team if there's a need there. Now, one of the things, as we see how things progress over the next couple weeks, that'll give us some insight in how to best outline the activities of that working group meeting. So let's keep that in mind, that we're going to know more in a couple weeks, and we will work together to make the best use of that in-person time, and including those who are participating remotely. I don't see any other hands up right now or hear anyone asking to speak. So we have some work to do in refining the details of that meeting. So let's take a look. The questions for discussion that I just made reference to are on the screen now in Adobe. So we would like, we being the chairs and vice chairs of the working group, would appreciate some feedback from you in terms of these four questions. Some of them are kind of multiple questions, but I think all of you can read. If somebody, I guess for those who are not in Adobe, it might be helpful if I read the questions. The first one is, a subteam has been formed to look into the following definitions. Do you have any suggestions as to possible wording, language, or sources that could help in their work? Are there any other terms related to policy and implementation that you think should be defined, as well as any suggestions for wording? And the terms have already been gone over, so I won't repeat those that the definitions team is working on. Now, it's possible that the definitions teams will have some first cuts of some of these definitions, in which case we could decide to share those. We'll have to judge that one as we get further along and see where we're at. Now, let me stop there. Before I read questions 2, 3, and 4, is there any discussion? Anybody think that this is not these are not good questions to put out to everybody who's there for their feedback, or any comments that you have? Alan.
Chuck, can I get in the queue? It's Ann, and I'm not on Adobe.
Sure, Ann. I called on Alan. I'll put you in right after Alan.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck. I guess I'll make a comment I've made a number of times before, that the whole reason we're here is it's clear that that what we have been calling implementation is a lot of different things. And so, you know, I can answer specific questions of what other words do I think we need to define, but I think one of the important issues that the definitions team has to resolve is to come up with definitions which have clarity, and we're not going to be debating after the fact that, oh, I thought you meant something else by that word. So almost certainly, because we know implementation is a messy phase, or if it wasn't, we wouldn't be here. They're going to have to come up with some clarity so that we're not stuck in continually using multi-definition words throughout the rest of this process. And that doesn't quite come through in what's there. There's a door open for it saying, what else do we need to define? But I think almost primary charge is that they need to come up with definitions which we can use with clarity throughout the rest of the process.
And I think that is a good preface to the questions. And I would hope that we would, if Maureen, for example, gives the introduction to what that sub-team has been working on, that would be a good preface to that so people understand why we're doing that, if I heard you correctly. Okay?
Yep.
Sure. Anne, excuse me, I almost forgot. Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, Chuck. This is Anne Aikman-Scalise for the recording. And the question, I guess it addresses the second part of that question. Are there any other terms related to policy and implementation that should be defined? I notice, for example, in our deliverable 2-3 sub-team, that we do use the term policy guidance with a capital G, and I think that the term policy guidance is in our charter even. And even though we may not have an existing mechanism within ICANN to talk about policy guidance, I think it needs some kind of definition, in particular if we are going to refer to it in this way in the working group. We have to know what we mean when we talk about policy guidance, even if it's not an existing procedure.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Even if it's something that we're seeking, you know, or something that somehow comes out in later processes, we have to define what is currently undefined because we're using it already as a term.
Thank you very much, Anne. And let me ask, does anyone object to the term policy guidance being added to the list?
No, I think it's a great idea. That's a big yes to have it.
Has Maureen been able to join us yet? I guess not. And she's traveling. So, Mary, would you please make sure that Maureen is aware that we added that term. Okay? Okay. Any other comments or discussion on question one? Going to question two, do you know any experts in the area of policy and or implementation from other organizations? In addition to what is in the working group charter, do you know of any other resources that would be useful to this working group? I don't think this question will take a lot of time, but it would be, and people can obviously give us their list of experts or resources even after the call, as long as they do it in a timely manner. Any discussion on question number two? Okay, going to question number three, can you identify any particular successful or unsuccessful examples of ICANN or GNSO policy development or policy implementation? What reasons may have accounted for their success or lack thereof? Any comments or questions on that question? And again, in all of these, we don't need to take, I mean, we want to give people opportunity to share in the in-person meeting, but we can also ask them if they have a lot of detail to submit it in writing to us subsequent to the meeting. Cheryl.
Thanks for that, Chuck. Cheryl here. I would like to take what you just said a step further, or more importantly, you again took the words right out of my mouth, so I'm just going to embellish on them. This is one of the questions which I see is important for perhaps not full-blown public comment at this early stage, but certainly outreach So some form of less formal than full-on public comment, but ability to open up a survey of some description to get wide cross-community input on, because that's going to, the answer to that depends very much on the lens you're looking through, and grappling with the issues that come out of the feedback on that earlier will save us problems at the end.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. In fact, I suspect that question two would be another one that it would be good to do a specific outreach on to the community.
Yeah, fair point. Yep.
Yeah.
Or a call for expression of interest. Some people may want to just pass it on to experts that they know rather than put them in.
Right. Right. By the way, just a side note, at the IGF in Bali last week, in one of the multi-stakeholder sessions, I met a couple experts that could be very useful for us, so I will take advantage of that information, and I got their business cards. So.
Yay.
Okay. Anything else on number three? Okay, number four, what do you believe the relationship should be between the GNSO and its working groups and the ICANN board, GAC, community stakeholders, ACs, other SOs, and ICANN staff in regard to first implementation planning, policy implementation review, accountability for policy implementation, revision of policy or implementation plans? This one's a pretty broad question, so how much time we'll have it have for it in the live session, I don't know, but any comments or questions on that? This.
Cheryl here, Chuck. I'd ditto the treatment of this one to the treatment of the last. It's one of those that, again, the wider outreach, deal within BA, obviously, but then also allow for wider outreach.
Okay, thank you. Alan?
Yeah, I'm not sure the wording quite makes sense. It's saying, what do you believe the relationship should be between the GNSO and a whole laundry list of organizations in relation to implementation, planning, and so forth?
You have a suggestion?
I'm reading it for the first time here, to be honest, so I don't.
Well, you there's feel, something feel wrong free with it. To provide it, wording via the list, if you'd like.
Yeah, I just don't think it's good English to say, what's the relationship between one organization and others in regard to something?
Well, let me throw it out to the whole group, because I think your point's well taken. I found it a little awkward myself and made a couple changes, but I would appreciate anybody that could word this more effectively, because I think you're right that it's a little bit awkward.
I mean, for instance, on things like implementation planning, it's the issue is who should be involved in it, not necessarily a GNSO and versus other groups. I mean, the GNSO has some level of involvement in everything that has to do with GTLDs, but for that matter, so does the GAC and the at large advisory committee and various other groups who have an interest in it. They may not have the mandate to do it, but they certainly have an involvement or should have an opportunity to work in it. So,
okay.
I guess I'm not sure what the question is trying to get at.
Okay. Well, let's give some others a chance, and okay. You may be thinking of some things. You've raised one idea in my head, but I'll defer to others. Olivier. Olivier, it's your turn. Make sure you're not on mute. Olivier, we cannot hear you if you're talking. Okay, let me come back to Olivier and go to Cheryl.
His line is dropped.
Ah,
okay.
Well,
Cheryl?
Thanks for that, and hopefully by the time I finish prattling on he will have got back on.
Excuse me a second. I think we need to. He was a call out, I think. So, okay. Natalie says they're dialing out. Excellent. Thanks, Natalie. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thanks, Chuck. Cheryl here. I wondered about then perhaps framing the question with a more of a request for comment and observations. Do you have any comments or observations on the relationship between the GNSO and other parts of the ICANN community? You can list them if you want, with regard to, and then you bullet list.
Okay, thank you. Olivia, are you back in?
Yes, I'm back now.
Go ahead. It's your turn.
Just a comment. I know that there is already common agreement in the community regarding the relationship between the groups with regard to policy development. So I don't know which thing we can add to this relationship again.
Taking off on something, this is Chuck again, something that Alan said there when he said who, would it be better here to just ask who should be involved in these five different activities? We could be more specific. Should the GNSO be involved in all of these activities? And what other groups in the community should be involved, including the ones that are listed there? Another way to approach it. Alan?
Yeah, I think what we're, I'm not sure what we were trying to ask, but I think what we want to ask is what should be the involvement of each of these groups in these subject areas, in these activities, and, perhaps with some examples given of, this is the leader, they should be a participant, they have the ultimate say over, what role should each of these be playing in the different parts of the policy process?
And I saw that word, this is Chuck again, mentioned by Mary in the chat. I think that's a good suggestion. What role should each of these organizations be playing with regard to those? I think that's an improvement.
If you look, for instance, at the PDP process, clearly that is led by the GNSO. The GNSO makes a specific recommendation. GNSO Council makes a specific recommendation to the board as an outcome, or it can do that. And other parts of the community may participate, in the legwork, but not in the decision making. Is that proper? And I think we can then carry it through in the other thing, in the other aspects.
Right, and I think everybody probably knows that, this is Chuck again, the basis for question number four, because the board made some decisions based on the fact that certain things they considered to be implementation, so they thought it was a staff issue and not a GNSO issue. So that's where it comes from. And Olivia, I see that I was going to ask you that question, and you answered it before I asked it. So you also like the term role there. Ann, is that your hand up?
I think it's Marie Laurie.
Oh, it's Marie. Marie, that's right. You can't put your hand up, can you, Ann? Sorry about that. Marie.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Well, I just want to add that in addition to look at the who should be involved and how, we might want to look at what stage, meaning when, they should be involved.
That's a full dynamic,
that would
Mary.
Be, thank
good, good question.
Yep, that's the full dynamic.
Thank you. I see Mary's hand up. Go ahead, Mary.
Yes, thanks, Chuck. And I feel compelled to ask this because even though this is a GNSO started a working group, and as you say, Chuck, a number of these questions arose in the community's mind, or at least the GNSO community, because of certain actions, decisions, and so forth. But should the question, as rephrased, as suggested by others, with bullet points and so forth, should it focus on the GNSO, or should it be more neutral, if I can use the word? Clearly, these are questions of, you know, perhaps more concern to the GNSO than, say, the CCNSO, but the GNSO, while it's very active in policy development, really its role is limited to policy in the G space, and it's different from, say, the ASO or, you know, FSAC and the CCNSO. So I'm just wondering if this group would like to rephrase it accordingly, or if this is fine.
Yeah, before I turn it over to Alan again, I want to point out that I think we're discovering that just with these four questions, we can use up 90 minutes really easy. And if we want to allow some time for the two sub-teams to work as well, we're going to have a problem. So I'm going to throw out a question, and I'll let you think about it while Alan talks, and then we'll come back to that. My question is this. Which of these four questions would we get the most value out of in an in-person meeting, and which ones could we do through a written outreach to community members, and it might be okay to do it that way? So think about that while I turn it over to Alan.
Yeah, thank you. I thought we already in asking what should their roles be, took the focus away from the GNSO, and the GNSO is just one of the bodies we're asking it about. I mean, clearly the GNSO is in a privileged or something position in that the bylaws give them certain responsibilities. So yes, the GNSO is in a different position with regard to GTLD policy and GTLD things than the other groups, but I think we should be asking in the more general sense of what should the roles be of these of all of these groups in relation to that laundry list.
Thank you.
Go ahead. I think very much it should not be focused on the GNSO, although clearly they're in a dominant role.
Thank you. Okay, now we're running out of time, so we're not going to resolve this today. My suggestion, if Jay Scott's okay with this and the other leaders, is that we continue discussing this on that question in particular, question four on the list, to kind of get a sense, and then in the meeting 2 weeks from now that Jay Scott will be chairing, that we try and reach some resolution here. Now, I want to come back. Are you okay with that, Jay Scott?
I certainly am.
Thanks. And the last thing then on item five that I want, I'm going to come back to the question I asked and see what people think, and this can be done on the list and in the next meeting too. But if we were to narrow down this list to maybe just a couple questions, which two do you think are most suited for the in-person, the live meeting in Buenos Aires? Anybody want to venture an opinion there? Or you can put it in the chat, too.
Chuck, it's Ann. I have a comment on that.
Go ahead, Ann. You're first.
In a way, I feel that question four is a bit telescoping what will ultimately be the outcome of the work of this committee. I feel as though the first three questions, you know, could be better discussed in the early stages of an in-person meeting. The other thing you come up against in question four is it has to be carefully phrased to try to determine whether you're talking about, you know, what is the ideal role, what is the when is the ideal time for involvement, because of course there are some existing bylaws that govern these relationships, and so the committee, you know, is going to be in the process of looking at this type of this relationship issue through the subteams over the course of the work that we're doing, and I almost feel as though question four is a bit premature and telescopes the result.
Let me interrupt you there and just suggest that that's why we're asking for some public input now, to get some input before we start doing our deliberations that will guide us, and then of course we'll come back to it again later. So I don't think it's premature in the sense that we won't have another in-person meeting until the Singapore meeting. So if people do have some thoughts there, it could help us. But your point's well taken. And now we're running out of time, and I want to be able to turn it back to Jay Scott and agenda item 6 and give him a little bit of time there. So let me ask Cheryl and Alan to be brief, and keep in mind that we're going to have to continue this discussion on the list with regard to the questions as well as in the next meeting 2 weeks from now. Cheryl.
Thank you, and yes, I will be brief. As I said in the chat, I think 3 and 4 would benefit from making the cut for the BA meeting. I think a properly reframed question 4 would, as you were just saying, Chuck, be quite useful and kind of a method of looking up the other end of the telescope rather than the other way around. But it would definitely need to be reframed. But all of these would need to have the opportunity, also advertised in the BA meetings, for additional and ongoing input through some sort of online tool. Thank you.
Thank you. Alan.
Thank you. I think 4 is what our working group is doing. I think that's the whole substance. If there wasn't disagreement on this, we wouldn't be meeting. If it was clear that what role everyone played and everyone sat in their little place and did it, there would be no controversy. So I think 4 is the question.
Okay, and I was going to pin you down. So you think this is the most important one?
I personally think so.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's most important for Buenos Aires, one can debate. I think it is the question for the working group, however, which is interesting because we hadn't phrased it like this before. But I would suggest if we are going to do this in Buenos Aires, and an hour and a half or whatever we have is not a long time for people to start expounding, we might want to seed the discussion by having some suggested, not necessarily optimal, perhaps even radical, roles that some of these groups should be playing to elicit, to get the discussion going.
Yep.
That's something we can discuss next time, but it may be an interesting way to do it.
Thank you. Now, one of the things we could do, too, is to this is Chuck again, we could be fairly brief on 1, 2, and 3 and say, hey, we really do want your input on those, but we need it in the next couple weeks or something. Please provide it. If anybody has any very brief remarks, we'll take them and focus the attention on 4 and then allow some time for the working group. So, Mary, if I can ask a favor and then I'll turn it back to Jay Scott, could you put out to the list for those that aren't on the call the questions that we've been talking about, like how could number 4 be worded more effectively? Which of the questions do we think are most important to actually spend reasonable time on in Buenos Aires? Is that doable?
Yes, of course.
Thanks.
Sure thing, Chuck.
Thanks. Okay. I've taken up too much time, Jay Scott. Sorry
That's okay.
about that. But I'm turning it back to you.
Okay, I'm just going to quickly tell you that Maureen couldn't make it, but she has delivered a report to show that their subgroup is off and running, and they are just beginning their work. They have come up with a concrete plan of how to proceed, and that plan is proceeding. I will ask, Mary, will you copy on Maureen's summary?
Yes, I was, and in the few minutes that remain, we can upload it if you like.
No, I don't want to do that. If we could just send that with the questions to the group that Chuck just asked you about so that they can review it at their leisure. It's very well done, and it's very succinct and should not take anyone any great amount of time to go through. Lastly, I want to close the meeting. I want to first thank everyone for their time today. I want to remind everyone that our next call will be Wednesday, October 30th at this time. The big thing to remember is...
You mean November 13th?
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm crazily looking at this, and I think at that time we're all on the daylight savings time issues has resolved itself.
Uh-huh.
I think next week the United States changes.
Sunday. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Day with the one UTC time.
So we will. We will be. We will meet again on the 13th. I will be chairing that call. I want to thank everyone very much for their time today. Mary will be sending around the things that Chuck has requested so we can take additional input and discussion on the list on these questions so that we make our final decisions on that call on November 13th. I do realize that some people will be traveling to Buenos Aires during that, and that's unfortunate, but we're going to try to hold the call so we can continue to move these things forward. In addition, we will be sending out at the end of today or first thing tomorrow a call for volunteers for Sub-Team 0B so that that group can get constituted hopefully prior to the Buenos Aires meeting. With that, I'm going to thank everyone very much for their time today, and we are going to end on time because as a chair, that's our most important task. And so I thank everyone, and we will speak to you again on the 13th. And until then, work hard, work steady, and let's all keep moving forward. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott and Chuck and Michael.
Thank you. When you send out the call, don't use code. Say what the team is.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.